from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest hosts Jason and Randy Sklar on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Sklar Brothers here, filling in for Jim Rome, Hour 3. We are coming to you live from the Quicken Loan Studio. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Randy, that was a beautiful conversation with Matt Weiner. I'm a big fan.
Me too. And Gary McCord last hour. Good stuff.
Loved it. As we head into Hour 3, we will be talking to Dave Revson later.
And just get a little sort of inside perspective from the Big Ten and how the Big Ten is handling it. Dave Revson of the Big Ten Network. About what's going on with Ohio State right now, a program, the jewel of the entire Big Ten and
most successful program in a long time.
Undeniable. Like the one guy and the one program and the one group of talent that could challenge an SEC team like Alabama year in and year out. And a lot of times they don't, but they're the one team that can do that.
Out of the Big Ten, at least.
Consistently.
So we're in a holding pattern with this whole Urban Meyer thing. We've got 14 days.
Less than that now, but whatever.
For Ohio State to figure out what they're going to do. But why, by the way, why is it 14 days? Like, unless you know what the outcome is, why are you saying it's going to only take 2 weeks?
Yeah, how can you say it's going to take only 2 weeks? Might take 3 weeks.
Might take 5 weeks. If you don't really know, it's going to take time to find out the answers. Unless you already know the answers and you're giving yourself 2 weeks to come back.
To formulate how you're going to me, it feels like they're giving 2 weeks to figure out how they're going to say, we're going to suspend Urban Meyer for four pretty insignificant games at the beginning of the season, and he'll still be in communication with the coaches, and he's still running the team.
And we understand, by the way, that this is a hot-button issue. You go to sports talk radio all over the dial, wherever you are, people are calling in, and you know exactly who they are. By
the way, they start the phone call.
Someone starts a phone call. Listen, I'm not saying domestic violence is a good thing.
Oh, really? You're not? You're saying domestic violence is a bad thing?
Thank you for starting out with that.
Thanks for going out on a limb there.
Thanks for letting us know that you're against.
So you're against it.
You're against men hitting women and children.
That's how you're going to fall on this gray area issue.
So just to be clear, you are not for.
You're not for
violence.
A guy doing violently pushing, restraining a pregnant woman.
We don't want to misquote you. Okay. We just want to know that you. Okay. So you can end the call
right
there.
Like when someone says, "Like I'm not racist, but
I don't want to hear.
I don't
want to
hear what else is coming out of your mouth."
No, no. Just call in and say, "I love winning football games more than anything else. That's my take. I'll hang up and listen to your response."
Yeah,
that's what you're
Sometimes
saying.
Sometimes a winning program. By the way. We understand the power of college football and having a team that you love and that you root for and a team that's in the mix every year. That is a strong – here's how strong it is. In the ramp-up, spring football, the summertime, as you're reading stuff now, there's like so much access to scouting reports and, you know, as you're scouting, recruiting and incoming –
24/7 fan sites for the team.
All this stuff gives you time in the summertime to get excited for college football to come back. And when you have a program that's going to win 11 games every year like Ohio State every year, we get it. This is your whole – from spring on, from the few weeks leading up to the spring game – all the way to the fall, all the way through the season and through the first of the year, you can have college football as your life and you are happy.
Right.
We get the power of what that is in people's lives.
And we get the fear that that will be taken away from you by some nonsense that doesn't have anything to do with football. I'm not going to say nonsense, but by something that's not football related, mm-hmm. that's going to bring down your escape, that's going to hurt your life in the fall, that's something that you look forward to. People build their lives around it. We understand that. And we're not saying that Urban Meyer needed to go intervene and stop a domestic violence situation or suss out whether it was real or not. All Randy and I are saying is the ball don't lie.
Ball don't lie.
That's a fact. All right. The ball.
There you go. Ball
thank you, lie. Rashid. The ball don't lie. When he sat up there at Big Ten Media Days, when Urban said, I don't know anything about a 2015 incident.
Are you making this up?
I don't know why someone would make a story like
this
up.
So he lied and then called someone else who actually was reporting the truth a liar.
Or called this woman who's saying they're a domestic violence. We don't know who he's saying is a liar in that moment, but it could be either one of those people. You don't say something like that.
Unless you have something to hide.
That's it.
Unless you didn't do something right. If Urban Meyer at Big Ten Media Day was asked, what about this incident? You would say, Zach Smith was fired. I went through the proper protocols. I'm saying everything that he's saying, if what he's saying now is true,
Then why didn't he say that 2 weeks ago?
I went through the proper protocols. I reported it. It went up the chain. We have a set of protocols where we handle this thing at the university. I'm not at liberty to talk about it right now because it's currently in an investigation. No one would have asked even a follow-up question on that. We would not be here today.
Right.
Why didn't he say that? It feels wrong to everybody who's watching. Everybody except the 100 people, you know, a ton of Ohio State fans and the 100 people who showed up for that ridiculous rally on Monday. What are you rallying for? Ezekiel Elliott's dad.
What are you rallying for? What's the point of that? Urban doesn't need your support. He knows you support him. Send him a tweet at him. Send an email. Tell the university you love the guy.
Great. You love your coach and you want to win football games. We understand that. Everybody who's a fan of Ohio State wants to win. They don't want to see this dynasty that has been created there broken up.
And I got news for you. Michigan fans and Penn State fans and Michigan State fans, they don't want Urban Meyer to leave.
And Wisconsin fans.
They don't want Urban Meyer to leave. They want to beat the best. If you want to be the best, you got to beat the best. They don't want a situation where there's controversy and these kids who are coming to this university, they want the best.
And by the way, when he said, I failed up there, I should have said, this is what I should have said after he had a couple of days to be able to, after the heat came down and people in the reporting happened, he said, I failed up there. That's not good enough for me. Why did you fail? Why did you fail in that moment? That's not a good enough answer for most people. Why did you fail? You're not saying why it happened. Just saying that you failed and you screwed up is half of the apology.
That's right.
What happened? You knew that this guy in 2009 had this domestic violence thing. You and your wife counseled him. You can't stand up there and say that you and your wife share everything at Big Ten Media Days and then your wife is getting all these texts from Zach Smith's wife and she's not sharing it with you. It's either one or the other. So you're caught in a lie there as well.
It's a tough thing. You can't play the high status.
So we look back and we say, okay, well, what kind of a Urban Meyer presents himself as a molder of men, as a person who molds guys into from high schoolers into men.
He sets the moral fence.
He says he is the moral standard. He's trying to make these guys into good men. Well, if you are, then you have to say you did the right thing in this instant. And can you say that, Urban Meyer?
And it seems like he can't say it. And we won't know, and we don't know. And the question is, how does Ohio State as a university want to deal with this? Because regardless of the exact details of the situation, we have to address the university, their stance on the whole thing, on how it was handled. The cover-up in addition to the actual
incident. By the way, if he did send it up the ladder,
then someone else has got to go.
Then
Gene Smith is gone.
Yeah.
Then the other people
I would send out Gene Kelly, too. No relation to the university, but fire Gene Kelly from wherever Gene Kelly is.
Gene Kelly?
Yeah, the dancer.
Dan Kelly, former announcer for the St. Louis Blues.
I mean, Gene Smith, you're going to take the fall for this. Gone.
Yeah, I think Urban Meyer survives. I think it's a 3 or 4 game suspension beginning of the year. I think he still has access to the team and coaches them some way.
It's not going to really affect this season.
I don't. I think he survives, but that's my opinion. And I just think that winning is super important to that university. They will find a way to remove Urban from the equation. Other people may take a fall, but I think he stays.
So what message does that send to the guys, the players that he's trying to mold? The guys that he's trying to make into people who will then go into the NFL.
Or into the world.
Or out into the world. What message does that send them? If you can get out of a situation that's sticky, get out of it. You don't have a moral responsibility. Get out of it.
And by the way, not an anti-Ohio State. This is not an anti-Ohio State stance. This is just, if you are who you say you are, then you got to be that. You got to be that all the time. Or don't claim to be that.
And if you're an Ohio State fan, you have to say, we have to hold this guy to a higher standard.
Yes.
We need to. And I don't know what the answer is. Sit him out for a year? Take away scholarships? How is the NCAA going to handle this? You know, a 14-day investigation to me is 14 days of them trying to figure out how they are going to craft the statement that says, this is what we found. This other person
they
is going
to
take the fall.
They have to already know.
This other person is going to take the fall, and Urban Meyer, yes, we're going to slap him on the wrist. He'll get maybe 2 4-game suspension at the beginning of the year, games that don't matter as much as the Big Ten schedule.
We'll see. We'll talk to Dave Revson at the end of the hour and find out what he thinks.
Curious
about
to hear what you guys think about this. You can email us at rome@haveitake.com or call us at 800-636-8686. I, you know, again, I if you are a Michigan fan, if you're a Michigan State fan, if you're a Wisconsin fan, if you're a Penn State fan, you want Urban Meyer there. You want to be the one time Michigan fans. Michigan beat Ohio State in the last God knows how many years.
Is when Luke Fickle was coaching. That doesn't almost seem like you can take that as a win.
So you want him there. You want him coaching these. He gets five-star recruits. You want him coaching the five-star recruits, and you want to try and beat that team. You don't want this to happen. And again, if it went down the way he said it went down, all he had to do was go to Big Ten Media Day and say, this is what happened. I went up the ladder. It's out of my hands at that point.
When O.J. Simpson's riding down the street in a white Bronco at a slow speed chase with a gun to his head
saying he's going to kill himself, nobody is looking at that situation going, he's innocent.
Those are the behaviors of an innocent man.
So when O.J. gets out of it, is everybody looking at O.J. being like, you got out of it, man. You're good. I mean, maybe O.J. fans are. Maybe the guys who are huge fans of his are saying, yes, he made it out. He got out of it.
The court of public opinion would say differently.
No, Urban Meyer didn't murder anybody. Okay?
And no, he didn't abuse anyone.
He did not. But in my opinion, when you are set yourself up as the guy who is in charge of this entire group of young men and trying to take them into adulthood, for a lot of these people, you are a father figure and you are taking them into adulthood, showing them how to behave morally. This is not the way to do it.
People from Penn State went to jail.
Yeah. There are people who worked in the Penn State administration who went to jail, not even the coaches. Here's at NJ Alberts. If the suspension is 3 or 4 games, he should sit the Big Ten conference games.
I don't know if they'll do that. I don't know if it's even possible to do that, but that does make it a little more impactful. I don't know. I mean, and I do hope, and I think the one positive that may come out of this is for the future, they can set up a system of protocol that hopefully people will adhere to across the board. My question is,
why are you
loyal to this one guy, to this wide receivers coach?
Brian Hartline's a way better wide receivers coach than Zach Smith ever was and ever will be, and he's in your system right now. You're loyal to him because of Earl Bruce. So your loyalty is the thing that may wind up get you falling on your own sword.
This has nothing to do with this, but dear Jason Ranning, just got done rewatching season 3 of Better Call Saul in preparation for the premiere of season 4, which I just watched and was amazing. You guys are great as owners of the music store. Was Odenkirk a blast to work with?
Yes,
super relevant to this Ohio State discussion.
I mean, you can't get more relevant to that.
And yes, he was.
And by the way, kudos to Adam Hawk for rushing that email in.
Yeah. Hawk's like, in light of what you guys are talking about right now.
I know you guys talking about really serious stuff. But
hot take in the Urban Meyer situation, Better Call Saul, a good show. And look, a lot of people are going to come at us and say, why are you sitting there on Jim Rome's show saying that Better Call Saul is a good show? A lot of people are going to say, you guys are homers. You were on the show. Obviously, you're going to say it's a great show.
Okay, we get it.
Fine.
Come at us.
Come at us if you have an issue with us saying that Better Call Saul is a great show. We will say what's on our minds, even if it's controversial, even if it's going to piss off the fan base.
All we're going to say right now to Ohio State, if you're listening.
If you're an Ohio State fan, this is what you can hope for.
Do the right thing.
You can hope that the university does the right thing. Even if you end up losing Urban Meyer, which I don't think is going to happen, another great coach is going to come to Ohio State.
And you still have all these amazing recruits.
It is the plum job in the Big Ten.
It's the jewel of the Big Ten. We're saying that, and we're Michigan guys. So there you go.
Do not worry.
Let's take a break.
Let's do that.
Let's take a break. There we go. And we come back. Charles Oakley.
We'll talk about him.
Charles Oakley busted for cheating at a casino.
That's a yikesers.
We'll get into the oak tree because I have some stuff that I want to talk about him on the other side of this. Last two segments. It's been a great couple of days here. At the final segment of the day, we got Dave Revson. So we'll ask him more about this. We'll touch on more of this. Scott Brothers filling in for Jim Rome on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
What?
a thumbs up for this music from the booth.
Yep, Nathaniel Rateliff
and the Night Sweats. That is a little honey. We have a
big, big tweet of the day.
Well, Barbasol razors, after 100 years of making shaving cream, Barbasol is finally making razors, Randy.
Finally, Matt Weiner needs to shave that beard. He said he won't do it until it's 10 blades.
That was a no-brainer. Try the new Barbasol Ultra 6 Plus with 6 ultra-thin blades. Save now at Barbasol.com. What do you got for the big tweet of the day?
One, Mike in Buffalo just said, regarding the Ozzie Guillen segment, he said, well, that segment went a little bit fat, didn't it? Regards, Juan Uribe.
Juan Uribe? Was he 64, 65?
Juan Uribe?
Yes, there you go. There's a big tweet of the day.
Thank you, Mike in Buffalo.
We want to remind people, we have a podcast.
Yeah.
It's called View from the Cheap Seats. We talk sports. It's basically what we do here in a shorter format. We do it once a week. Find it where you find podcasts. And we also have a podcast called Dumb People Town, where we try and it's a true crime podcast about dumb people
doing dumb things with our co-host Dan Van Kirk. It is a lot of fun. We're actually doing a live one at the Petaluma Comedy Festival.
In Petaluma, California, which is a beautiful place just north of San Francisco, on August 17th. So that's next Friday night.
6 p.m. If you're in San Francisco, come see us.
And then we're doing stand-up later that night.
A live stand-up show later. You can go to superscholars.com and check out all of our stuff there. We're going to be on the history of comedy.
Yes.
On CNN, duos.
That's right.
But let's see. We have Revson in the last hour here.
Last segment of the last hour.
But I want to talk about Charles Oakley.
Yeah.
Charles Oakley back in the news.
Yeah.
And these days, by the way, that's never a good thing. Charles Oakley back in the news. It's never like Charles Oakley's back in the news. And you're like, oh, what did he do?
Did he come up with a cure for Alzheimer's disease?
No, he donated $40,000 to the Susan G. Komen Breast Cancer Research Center.
Sklar's, I believe Gene Smith will take the fall, signed Owen Hart, Drew in West L.A. War Bums using sand as protein powder. It is.
Charles Oakley's back in the news. Oh, yeah? What did he do?
What did Charles do now?
He was just found wandering the streets of Manhattan putting loose change into parking meters for people.
No, that's not happening.
Yeah, that didn't happen. It's like, that's not what the old Charles Oakley's in the news.
When I hear Charles Oakley's in the news, my first thought is, who do you choke now?
That's it.
That's who he is.
I saw Charles Oakley coaching the Big Three basketball.
Magic.
Coaching a Big Three basketball team, Ice Cube's team, Ice Cube's league. And he was coaching a team. And I thought to myself, why do these teams need coaches? How much coaching is going on?
At the Big Three?
There is nary a clipboard or white dry erase board in sight. Like what?
We need to draw up a play.
Draw up a play?
These are, by the way, the least coachable guys in the history of the NBA.
No one looks at the guys who are in the
Big Three League.
And say, you know what these guys? Here's what these guys all have in common. Extraordinarily coachable.
Malleable.
These are the guys who are, I mean, everybody's a Shane Battier. No, that's not, and by the way, that's not the point of the Big Three. Big Three is like 3-on-3. It's just all out. I want to see some crazy stuff happening. That's what you want to see in 3-on-3. You don't want to see like well-coached, well-designed off-the-ball screens. You're not going to see that.
So what did Oakley do?
Not a lot of movement. So it was fun to see Oakley near a basketball court, not trying to choke someone.
Right.
He was yelling at his team, get in there, rebound. You know, those great coaching truisms, witticisms. Totally necessary.
Sure.
So Oakley's back in the news because he was caught cheating at the Cosmopolitan Casino a few weeks back.
Yeah, because casinos just let that slide. They don't really check.
They never look for that stuff, Charles.
So he cheated.
By the way, what?
What was he doing?
Who thinks they can get away with cheating at a casino? The only person who can cheat a casino is a professional cheater. And I would not describe Charles Oakley. That wouldn't be the first thing that you would say about
him. If you said Charles Oakley, I'd be like, chokes dudes.
Yep. That's
capable
how we define you.
Yeah.
If I had to pitch a reality show with Charles Oakley right now, it would be a show where Charles Oakley helps people out by choking other people who are causing them problems. It's a version of bully beatdown.
Or choke it or cheat it. That's what it would be on HGTV.
Choke it or leave it. You said choke it or cheat it?
Love it or list it.
Let's say there's a guy at work who's sexually harassing you. Oakley, get in there.
Choke him up.
I bet he doesn't even come near you in the break room next lunch.
Choke him up.
A local body shop is overcharging you for your car.
Oakley.
Choke him up. Choke with Oak. I would do that. I'd watch that. I'd pitch that.
Charles Choakley.
Charles.
I would watch that.
or just Choklee.
Choklee.
He can choke a fool, period. That's it. I know that. What I'm not sure about is his ability to fleece down a casino.
Nobody can.
You can't do that. I think what was happening was he was playing at a Texas Hold'em card table.
Sure.
And he was putting money, placing money, and taking money away from the bet line after the time that he was supposed to do that, like after cards were dropped.
He realized someone has a better hand. I better take a little money off this bet.
You're not allowed to do that.
That's not how betting works.
And by the way, there's a camera on you at all times. There's a camera on your hands at all times.
There's a camera everywhere at all times in a casino.
Initially, Oakley was charged with the crime of trying to defraud a casino, which carries a maximum sentence, Jay, of, do you know how much it is?
10 years.
6 years in prison.
6 years. I was close.
Now, in prison, you got a lot of people you can choke.
Yeah. That's a choking man's paradise.
And that's what they say about prison.
Yeah.
Coolio said that.
Yeah.
It's a choking man's paradise. But Oakley's lawyer got the sentence to reduce to just a $1,000 fine and no jail time. $1,000, which is probably slightly more than he won by trying to cheat the casino.
So in a sense, he wins.
Does he, though?
I don't know.
Does he win at that point?
I don't know if he wins, and I don't know if Oakley needs more bad press. Like, the moment when he went over to choke James Dolan and
by the way, I understood that. If you've ever heard James Dolan's blues band,
you're like, that's a public service, what he's about to do.
Thank you. Thank you.
What he's about to do.
I would say, choke the blues out of James Dolan. There are Knicks fans who are like, what is the security doing?
Please, dear God, let him go.
Finish it off.
Finish it off so we can be good
again. We actually want to have a winning season. But didn't do it.
Yeah, there are Knicks fans who are like, why can't Robert Durst have an issue with this guy?
Right. Charles Oakley, though, at this point, oh, to be Charles Oakley. Think of his life. He's choking the Knicks owner. He's coaching Big Three basketball. He's defrauding casinos. It's a great life.
He's living it.
He's all no jail time.
$1,000 fine. Slap on the wrist.
If Anthony Mason were alive today to see this, he'd be happy.
May he rest in peace. May Oakley rest in peace.
And Oakley's not dead. We just want him to get a good night's sleep.
As parents of little kids, we understand how valuable a good night's sleep is. May he rest in peace.
Choklee?
I would watch Choklee. I'd watch that show if that was on, like, the Learning Channel, because that seems like something TLC would put on. I actually won't even call it TLC. I call it the Learning Channel, just to remind everyone what
how
that name means.
How little learning is happening on the Learning Channel.
Honey Boo Boo, The Learning Channel.
I mean, The Learning Channel had a whole program about why people eat laundry detergent.
Actually, I would like to know that. I would like to learn that.
Just a person who just eats laundry detergent. Maybe they're trying to clean themselves from the inside, from the throat out. You mean to tell me you can't pair up Choklee with that?
That seems like a night of entertainment on The Learning Channel.
We just built a block for you, TLC.
Charles Oakley.
Choklee and this, why do I eat laundry detergent on the Learning Channel? There you go. I just am waiting to see what Choklee does next.
We don't know. It could be one of many things. He and Sprewell could get a yacht up in Milwaukee.
In Milwaukee.
And just sail around the lake.
That to me would be incredible.
They could design chokers for people.
If Charles Oakley designed
tight necklaces.
If Charles Oakley and Latrell Sprewell designed a line of chokers that was basically looked like two hands around the design is two hands around the neck. I'm investing in that company.
And I hope it does well. I hope he pulls it together. I always loved Charles Oakley. I loved him as a player.
And I think he looks a little more distinguished with a little salt and pepper in his hair.
He defined that era of NBA basketball. We'll never have that era again. We're not going to have guys who are enforcers like that in the league.
Would you say that Bill Laimbeer was like a white Oakley or
maybe
Charles Oakley was like a black Laimbeer?
You could go either way on that.
Either way on it.
You could go either way.
All right. You guys think about that. We will take a break when we come back. Last segment. Last segment of this show. 2 days of shows doing it with you guys. Thank you.
Up all night.
Hey, guys, Sklar Brothers, bringing it on home, filling in for Jim Rome. Thank you to Jim. We love doing this show.
Yes, we do.
It's time to answer your Ask the Pros question, where you, the clones, get to submit a question at CBSSportsRadio.com /AskThePros. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Did we have a question or an email that you wanted to read, Rand, if you wanted to?
I had a couple emails, but we'll get into one. Sklar's Casino Security in New Oakley was cheating when he was playing blackjack and took his shoes off and started counting on his toes. Hold on a second.
Wait a minute.
Stephen Phoenix. Jeez, that tells me, what you're telling me is he doesn't wear socks. Yeah. And I don't know if I buy that.
I'd say he's a golden toe guy.
Paul Stewart, War of the Sklar Brothers, I've not stopped laughing. Charles Chokley, stop it. Billy in Michigan, I was disappointed with the tie last night. He's talking about the roast battle.
They thought a lot of people
thought
you
seemed like
won.
You guys had a lot more to say about each other. It was great nonetheless. Thank you.
We enjoyed it.
We enjoyed that.
You know what else we enjoyed? The big call, huge call of the day. We're going to play a clip of that. It was with Ozzie Guillen earlier before we get to our final phone call.
Ozzie, you're having a tough time for about 12 years.
Yep. 12, 13. Yep.
I guess you could say that I'm in a little bit of a slunk.
I think it's a slump.
I've been in a slunk. I gotta get off the Schneiders.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, how do you?
But
do
I don't
that?
Know.
I mean, look.
They say that you should be with a overweight woman, and that's the way to do it. But I'm a married man.
In a slunk.
He's in a bit of a
get
slunk.
Get that man out of a slunk.
I don't know if he is or not. Do we have Dave? Is he on the line? I think we're trying to get Dave Revson on the line. Just to talk Big Ten. I mean, we are enormous college football fans. We do understand the anticipation that's starting to build. Last Friday, practices resumed. Fall practice.
If you know when fall practice starts in August, you are a deep college football fan. If you're looking at recruits and stuff, you are a deep college football fan.
I love that we have Dave Revson, who's in a rural area of Pennsylvania on the Big Ten tour bus. He's going around and checking out fall practice, but we have him on the program right now. We're a big fan and an old friend. Dave Revson, are you there?
Yeah, Jason, Randy, what's up, fellas?
We are good. Kind of an uneventful week this past week in
for
Big
Ten.
Ten
coaching and whatnot.
God, man, how are you guys handling this? This is a little crazy. Do you agree?
It is crazy. We were there yesterday in Columbus,
right?
So we were kind of in the eye of the storm.
What's the vibe?
It was fascinating.
Yeah, what's the vibe there?
I will say this. I mean, if you didn't know, you wouldn't know. I mean, if you just kind of walked into the practice, and even if you've been to a lot of college football practices before, which obviously I've been to hundreds of them,
yeah,
it felt like business as usual. Now, I will say this. I mean, Urban Meyer has a presence about it, maybe is the best way to put it. And you're acutely aware when you're at an Ohio State practice that he's there. I mean, he certainly makes his presence known, and he's one of those coaches who is involved in the practice. So it's not as if you wouldn't at some point have kind of become cognizant of the fact that they're missing a fairly important component to this puzzle. But I would say it just, everything went as it normally would. I mean, kind of the practice was constructed in the same way that it would be, and you still had some wow moments and awe-inspiring physical specimens and all of that kind of stuff.
Those are the players.
I mean, they go along with being Ohio State practice. But, yeah, fascinating story, no doubt.
So you were at Media Days, obviously. You were at the Big Ten Media Days. He had to have known that he was going to be asked that question. I mean, you talk about Urban Meyer. He is the king of preparation. I don't think there is a more prepared coach, you know, in that moment. You had to know that you were being asked that question.
I agree. I mean, I just kind of a notion that I wasn't prepared for it. Because you had to know it was going to go down that path. Mm-hmm. So I don't really know what to make of that. I don't know what to make of that assertion other than, I guess you have to take it somewhat at face value, but it is a surprise. It was a very surprising statement.
Right.
I think basically by saying what he said on Friday, by kind of saying, look, I was not entirely truthful at Big Ten Media Days, and I did know about 2015. I think it's basically come down to this, that if the investigation at Ohio State finds that Zach Smith should have been fired in 2015, that Ohio State had knowledge of comportment on his part that should lead someone kind of morally and ethically to not continue to employ him in coaching young men, then I think that does not look good for Urban Meyer. And I think it, there might be some others who go down with him.
Yeah.
I think if there was, for some reason, ambiguity in that situation, or they didn't believe the reports, or they investigated and didn't find it to be true, or whatever explanation you might have, then I think he keeps his job. But I just feel like the his Friday statement, I think, kind of boiled it down to, I did what I was supposed to do, so I'm not going to be fired with cause.
Right.
And so if you're going to get rid of me, I'm digging in my heels, and you're going to have to fire me without cause. And, oh, by the way, I wasn't the only one there who knew.
Yeah. Right. So someone else is going down if I'm going down, essentially, is what he's saying.
Someone less someone less valuable than me to the football program.
Well, there's no one more valuable.
Yeah, I mean, and look what he's done for the entire league. You know, he's the one guy that can challenge Nick Saban on the national level. He's in as a recruiter, as a coach, and all those things.
Yeah, and I think there's a misconception, and maybe you guys can speak. You can speak to this by going around to the other schools. I think people are thinking that his competitors, the Michigans, the Penn States, the Michigan States, want to see Urban out of there. I don't think that's the case. I think they want to compete against the best and get their shots against him. I think they're not rooting for him to be out. I don't think that's happening, or maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you can correct me.
I mean, I guess there are probably people at various ends of the spectrum and all along that spectrum thinking different things.
Sure.
But I would say this. Anyone who has really studied the Big Ten over the last decade or so would understand the importance of Urban Meyer's hiring to the competitiveness of the league.
Yep.
If you guys recall, he came in and essentially said, if this league's going to compete with the SEC, it has to get better in recruiting.
Yep.
And if you remember, like Brett Bielema came out and said, we have a gentleman's agreement in this league where if a kid is committed to one program, you back off of them. If you're at another program in the league, and Urban Meyer basically said, yeah, I'm not going to do that. We're not doing that anymore. And if you guys want to compete at the way that the SEC competes, it's a little bit cutthroat.
Yeah.
And then you look at the coaches who were hired in his wake and how the level of recruiting, I mean, if you follow recruiting rankings, and I do think on the aggregate recruiting rankings matter. I mean, I don't worry about one individual player here or there, but on average, the teams with better recruiting rankings are better than the teams with bad ones.
Yep.
And the Big Ten has seen its recruiting skyrocket since Urban Meyer came in. I mean, he essentially sent a message that this is how this league is going to have to compete. So if you're a fan of some of these other schools that have raised up their recruiting by a significant margin since he came, you, by extension, kind of have him to thank.
Well, here's the deal. You got five teams in the top 15 in the preseason ranking in the poll from the Big Ten. Am I right? Five teams?
You got Wisconsin, Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan State, and Michigan.
And Michigan. Those are all teams are great. Northwestern, don't sleep on them this year.
Nebraska, we don't know how fast their turnaround is going to be. I mean, this is the premier conference in all of college football right now.
Well, the East Division, I think, is certainly the most competitive division in college football at the top. There's no one else who could claim that if you have four teams in your division, any of the four of which ends up in the college football playoff, that you wouldn't think, wow, I didn't see that coming.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, Big Ten last year, I thought, was the best league kind of top to middle. You know, the bottoms are always difficult to assess.
Sure. But
there were a couple teams that dragged down the Big Ten, no doubt. But it was the most competitive league in the country. I don't like to point too much at bowl games, but the Big Ten did go 7-1
in
the bowl games. So, you know, you end up with a team not in the playoff, but I'm kind of the belief that if you're going to eliminate anyone who loses two games, which it seems like the committee is going to do, then the best way to make the playoff isn't necessarily to be in the best conference. It's to be one of the two or three great teams in a league filled with otherwise mediocre teams.
That's it.
Yeah. So I hope that they will reassess the way that they evaluate the playoff, which isn't to say I thought Ohio State belonged in last year, because frankly I didn't. I thought Penn State was the best team in the Big Ten.
Right.
But, you know, I guess I just don't think we can equate do you make the playoff with are you the best league.
Well, it's interesting because I think the college playoff, they kind of do the eye test with Alabama every year. So Alabama can lose the game that gets them to the, you know, the SEC championship game. And you say to yourself, well, they're out. And then all of a sudden they're like, yeah, but they're a playoff team. They come back with like, but look at them. They're just, look at the team. They're a playoff team. So if you can do that eye test with an SEC team like that, why can't you do that with a two-loss team from another conference? It's interesting.
Well, I think you could. I mean, let's be honest. Ohio State in the first year got the benefit of the doubt by getting into the playoff despite, you know, or 2 years ago, I should say, despite not winning the Big Ten.
Right.
I think it doesn't bother me, I guess, that a team that didn't win its division or its conference can get in. I think what bothered me about last year, again, I don't think Ohio State belonged in last year, but what bothered me was that the nature of the evaluation, what they told us they were evaluating, changed. So we have that show on ESPN every week where, you know, Reese, who I love,
yep,
a colleague and a friend, comes on and he asks of the committee chair, what is it that you guys were distinguishing between? Mm-hmm. How did you decide these teams? And last year, going into that last week, we were told, well, there's not much of a margin between 4 and 5, between Ohio State and Alabama. And Ohio State went out and won its conference championship game against an undefeated Wisconsin.
Yep.
And Alabama didn't play. And then we were told, well, we just thought Alabama was better. Well, if there wasn't much separating them and Ohio State went out and won and Alabama didn't play, and you've been giving us metrics all along, talking about this metric and that metric.
It seems weird.
And then
weird.
At the end, yeah, you just default to the eye test.
Right.
Then what were we wasting our time with all along?
They're going to come back and say they're right because Alabama
wins the national championship. And so they were in some ways proven right by doing that. But
yeah, and again, I have no dispute with Alabama. I didn't think Ohio State was a playoff team. I saw the game in person against Iowa. I mean, I get it. But I'm just saying, to me, Penn State, again, was the best team in the Big Ten. Now, you know, they blew a lead in Columbus against Ohio State, a great comeback that J.T. Barrett orchestrated.
Amazing.
And then they had the crazy game in the rain against Michigan State. It was delayed for hours. They came back out and lost that game. So,
yep.
Two losses by 4 points, but I thought they were the best team in the league.
It is going to be fascinating. As we only have a couple more minutes here, but what do you, as you go around and you're really getting a chance to see these teams from the ground up and you're watching sort of the talent emerge and guys in depth charts move forward and see how these teams are lining up. Is it, who do you think emerges from the East, and is it going to be Wisconsin again in the West?
Well, I kind of reserve judgment in the East just until we see everyone. That's kind of our competitive advantage. I'm fascinated by the quarterback situation at Michigan and by the offensive line, too. I think that kind of gets overshadowed, but that's an area where they have really struggled here in recent years. They're going to have to get better there, too.
Mm-hmm.
Penn State loses a lot on defense. I think they'll still be really good offensively, but, again, kind of until we see them, who knows. Michigan State had a pretty big injury the other day, Josiah Scott.
Mm-hmm.
That hurts them in the secondary. But, again, I think it's going to come down to a play here or a play there.
Isn't that crazy?
Injuries, kind of unexpected things between those four teams. The West is a little more clear-cut. I know we haven't seen anybody yet, but to me there was an enormous gulf between Wisconsin and everyone else last year when we left camp.
Right.
And there is nothing that has happened between then and now that leads me to believe anything's going to have changed. If anything, I think the gap's widened. I think Wisconsin's going to have one of the best offenses in the country this year.
Oh, yeah.
They have three potential first-round draft picks on the offensive line. They have a 2,000-yard running back. They have the best crop of receivers they've had in a while. And if Alex Hornibrook doesn't throw the ball to the other team, which he didn't do down the stretch last year, I don't see how anyone in the West is going to beat them.
I think it's going to be them in the championship game, the Big Ten championship game against one of the four. I mean, I think it's probably going to be Ohio State again. Obviously, if Urban Meyer isn't coaching, that could change. It could be Michigan State or Michigan. You never know. You just never know how good
Penn State
or Penn State. You never know how good Shea Patterson is going to be. That Michigan defense is the type of thing that can travel.
All we do know is that we are super excited for Big Ten football. We will watch you on the Big Ten.
You do such a great job, Dave Revson. And as you may be aware, as I know you're aware, Comcast and Xfinity customers could miss Big Ten football games this upcoming season on Big Ten Network and FS1. Let's try and keep the fans updated on the situation throughout August. So let's try and make sure that they keep it on there, right? We love the Big Ten Network.
All right, thanks, Dave.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really important for fans to understand this, that if Comcast is your carrier, that any games are on BTN or FS1, which is 22 of the first 24 games, just by example, would not be games that you'd be able to watch. We've been trying since February to reach out to Comcast. Our deal with them is expiring at the end of August.
We got to go, man. We're with you, brother. Thank you so much.